Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before we get started, please guys, help us out with a like on this video, interact in the chat, help us out with a share. And if you're not subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Remember that Mostly Peaceful is 100% self-funded by Patriots. No Illuminati, no lizard people. But we do want to thank our sponsors over at
Sentry H2O. So if you're looking for a water filtration system, as a matter of fact, today I saw a very scary CNN headline. I know CNN is fake news, but this is actually not fake news. And the headline said that hospitals are disposing of medical waste and pills, whatever you want to call it, down the drain. All of this goes into our waterway. So if you are looking to take care of your health, to have clean water, to actually save on water bottles, go to sentryh2o.com. That is one of our sponsors. You can use the code MPL10 for a small discount. You get to support an American patriotic company out of Arizona. And also you can install this for in under less than like, what, 20, 30 minutes.
Great for apartments.
Great for small apartments. Spaces. And it's only...
Or if you live like in a van... Because that's like my dream, like to have like an RV.
Yeah.
I know that's like a random thing, but it's great for a van if you need a way of filtering your water in a van.
Well, and it is less than $300. So take care of your health. It's a great investment. And let's get started. We have a lot to talk about today. Lots of controversies. We have some new people in the chat. I see. There's been a lot of things popping, especially.
Yay. Welcome, guys, to all our newbies. Thanks for coming. So today's episode, you know, we were looking for all of the headlines in politics and, you know, we're going to talk about DeSantis and the usual. And we're like, the manosphere is just really out of fucking control.
It's kind of control.
They're out of control.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about a lot of hot topics that I guess transition over to the manosphere. We want to clearly be talking about Jonah Hill's most recent breakup and how him and his girlfriend, basically how he was exposed. What was he exposed as being too overbearing or controlling, or was he in fact...
Manipulative and toxic, and she had another word that I can't remember right now.
Misogynistic. We'll discuss. Was Jonah right or was Jonah wrong? We're going to discuss the double standard between Andrew Tate and Kim Kardashian. I know. Somehow everybody hates Kim Kardashian. But
it was a really hot topic on my story yesterday.
We do want to point out that there is absolutely a double standard that exists where women have no vindication ever. There's no redemption. There's no forgiveness with, unlike there is with men, but we're going to get into that with a little bit more detail.
Absolutely.
And taking the internet by storm with the new Barbie movie, is Margot Robbie old and mid?
Mid, for those of you who don't know, because a lot of people ask me this down the DM, they were like, what is mid? You know, I have an older crowd as well, and they're not into the internet lingo. So I have to explain to them that mid is actually average, like an average looking girl, you know, everyday girl that you'd see at the park or at the beach, whatever. Miami's a little bit different. You can find not average people all the time, hotter people all the time everywhere. But that's what mid means, and it's taking the internet by storm. It's what I like to call the revenge of the incels. There's the revenge of the nerds, okay? We're actually still living through the revenge of the nerds, which is how Mark Zuckerberg, and you could even say Elon Musk and all of these tech nerds in Silicon Valley, you guys saw San Francisco, they take over stuff, they have their censorship, they're screwing conservatives over, they're screwing anybody with a difference of opinion, and now we have revenge of the incels. What is revenge of the incels? Revenge of the incels is pretty much men who, due to socioeconomic status or their personality or their looks or their wallet or the fact that they're cringe, they can access a certain level of girl, right? The hotter girls, the girls that the ballers can get, etc. And what happens is, as these girls age, in the case of Margot Robbie, she's only 33 years old. Apparently, that's basically like you're a grandma. You might as well just like put yourself in a freaking, like, what is it called when the grandparents go? The hospice. You're basically dead at 33. So what happens is now they get to say, wow, like you truly fell off. Like, wow, you used to be so hot 10 years ago. You're the baddest girl. You're so hot in high school. You were so hot in college. And look at you now. You're just old and you're average.
You're average.
And you're old and average, you know, the perfect Barbie. And listen, we're not saying that 23-year-old Margot Robbie wasn't even hotter than she is now. But here's the thing about people that are already genetically gifted, as I would say, or with better looks. As they age, of course, they're not going to look hotter, but they're not going to be ugly people. That it doesn't work that way. You're not born an attractive person, and all of a sudden, you're ugly. It just doesn't work that way, right? You could see it in Lisa Marie Presley. Yeah, when she died, she was already heavier and ugly, but the features, the way, her beauty was still there. But we'll get into those topics now. And we have a few super chats. Adam, per usual, he's always here on time. You're always helping us out. Adam Silva, thank you so much. He says, welcome to Mostly Peaceful Latinas, where the manosphere griff goes to die. Thank you both so much for calling a spade or a digital pimp or whatever the WTF ever. Love and appreciate you both very bigly. Thank you, Adam.
Love you, Adam. Thank you so much. The best.
We talk about you. We think about you.
All the time. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Emery Roy says, hey, ladies, love you too. Wondering what y'all's comments and thoughts were with the Nick Fuentes interviews on Fresh and Fit and Jamie on Tim Cass this past week since the last MPL show. God bless you too. I actually want to talk about that for a second. I want to talk about it.
Should we just kind of take a little swift and let's talk about it for a second?
Let's talk about that first. Let's do it
for Emery. Girl. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm so glad you asked.
I'm so glad you asked. We were just talking about it right before this started. I'm so glad you asked. So while I was doing my makeup, I started watching the Tim Cass interview. We'll go through that first and then we'll get to Fresh and Fit. I saw the Tim Cass. I started yesterday when I was at the gym, and then I finished it today while I was getting ready. And girl, like, she was just triggered. Like,
there's no other
triggered
word for it.
I think, you know, Tim Pool is a very balanced and moderate person. He didn't vote for Trump in 2016. He was always a libertarian. He does come from the left, actually. He's like, was always a leftist and a liberal. Used to work for Vice News, for those of you who don't know. And Tim Cass has been around for a very long time. And those people that call them a grifters are trash. I don't have to like him necessarily. I'm not a huge fan, but he's not a grifter. He built a platform for years, maybe like 15 years. Anyways, Tim Pool was basically questioning Jamie, who's the founder of Gays Against Groomers, as to why don't you like Trump anymore? Let's talk about this, you know, what it is that he's done wrong, and also DeSantis. And Jamie goes on to basically give him an explanation of why she doesn't like Trump. But before any of that happened, she was just taking jabs and trashing Trump supporters. Oh, you know, you can't piss off Magadonians. Like, they're so crazy. And Trump supporters this, and the cult base and the cult personality. And it was just one insult after another, after another, after another, and basically playing victim. She never clarifies why people have a problem with her. She never actually says how nasty she's been to many of us, ourselves included, when she was like trying to argue and trash us on Twitter
for literally
many other things that she has done behind closed doors. She doesn't want to talk about that. She doesn't want to talk about how last year, immediately after DeSantis won re-election, when she totally abandoned Trump, she doesn't want to talk about the fact that she started trashing her own friends, including DC Drano, Raheem, I don't know how to say his last name, the guy from National Polls. She doesn't want to talk about any of that. She just wants to talk about how horrible and vile and bad MAGA Trump supporters are. To what Tim Pool has to say, it's like, my experience has been completely different. If I tell people, MAGA people or whatever, if I tell people, hey, Trump did, I didn't like this, he gave the country to Fauci or whatever, most people are like, okay, let's talk about it. Like, mm-hmm. they don't have a lot of horrible things to say. He's like, however, the DeSantis campaign, I can't say anything. It's the cult. They come at you. They're vile. They have a lot of hatred. They're nasty. So, and he gave an example of what happened to him when he criticized them for, I think it was the CGI, the Fauci stuff. And then there was something else when he learned that Jazz Jennings, the transgender, mm-hmm. She got surgery here when she was underage. She got surgery here in Florida. So he posted a tweet that was actually pretty misleading. I'll say that, like, is this really happening in DeSantis' Florida? And as opposed to Christina Pusha coming back and answering like a press secretary would or a communications person right. would, with the audience that Tim Kass has, you could get away with somebody like us who has a smaller audience. You're talking about Tim Kass. She was very nasty, very catty, mean girl status. Like she always says, when are you going to do cry about it, cope about it, do this, blah, blah, blah. So it's a huge turnoff. And so Jamie had to switch the topic because after a while of going back and forth and getting pushback, and they were being really nice, she said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's move on to another subject. DeSantis is still the best person. She doesn't actually have
any arguments, but the truth is that the majority of them don't really have any arguments. So they do is that they default to attacks because they need you to believe that Trump never had any accomplishments. So basically all that they've focused on are those last 6 months of Donald Trump's presidency as if the rest of what he offered Americans had never happened. You can provide them a list of every accomplishment that Trump had while he was in office, including the accomplishments that he's continued to have while being out of office. I want to make a statement of something that has occurred to me to this narrative that continues to pop up about how Trump handed the country over to Fauci. Trump did no such thing. No. Fauci was the director of infectious diseases for this country since 1985. We are talking about close to 40 years of experience in that role. That is a role specifically designed to deal with a situation like we had in 2020 with COVID-19.
Right.
Trump is not a scientist. He's not a doctor. What he's supposed to do as the leader at that moment is default to the expert. And at that point, not because Trump had assigned Fauci as the expert at that moment, but because Fauci had already been assigned the expert for that role for the last 40 years. And here's a curiosity that a lot of people don't talk about. Most people had no idea who Fauci was. Incredibly enough, you know who did know who Fauci was prior to 2020? The anti-vaxxers. Those people did know.
I posted Fauci before that.
Correct. Because you were a true and you were exposing the truth about shots way before 2020. Those right. people did know. The average person did not know. And you want me to tell you what's something that you better thank Trump for? That if it wasn't for Trump putting Fauci in the public eye in 2020, he wouldn't have retired after 40 years in 2022.
Yeah. And, you know, her whole thing is like, oh, nothing. She's very sarcastic. Oh, nothing's ever Trump's fault. Like, because here's the thing. When you debate ideas or policy or whatever it is, you can't, like, there's always going to be a pushback, right? Even if it comes from the cult or not from the cult. So if I say Trump didn't hand over the country to Fauci, you can't just say because, and I give my explanation, you can't just say, oh, it's nothing's ever Trump's fault. Well, it's a debate. I'm going to debate your point and you can come back and say, well, I still think he did hand over the country to Fauci. I thought it was petty. I thought it was dumb. There was a point where Tim Kass was actually right about this. And I've had this conversation before with people when she was talking about the vaccine and how horrible it is because Trump has pushed a vaccine and it's had adverse reactions. And he claims that it saved 100 million lives. He doesn't take any accountability for any of the potential reactions. Tim Kass says, well, and she says, well, you know, he like rushed it in 9 months. And he goes, yeah, but when did you pay attention to how this specific medicine was made?
How the industry operated.
When did you start paying attention how the industry works? Like, did you care about that for the polio vaccine, for the MMR, for the DTaP? When did you talk about that at all? She's like, well, and it was like a struggle for her to come to the conclusion that's like, you're being very unbiased because Trump never wanted to force this onto anybody. So that's for me. I thought it was embarrassing. I went on Twitter and I mean, everybody was memeing her. Everybody was like, why is she so triggered? Like, this is so wrong. And also, you got to understand that there's 75 million Trump supporters. There's actually probably more. Let's say that he's lost some support. I don't care. Let's say it's 65 million for shits and giggles. And let's say out of those 65 million, 10% are online and they know who she is. Now, you're alienating so much of the Republican base and people that have promoted your platform, the people that have promoted your organization, Gays Against Groomers, people that have donated their money into your organization. When you call us a cult, we are going to react like a cult, which means we're not going to support your shit. We're not going to share your content. We're not going to donate. And we're going to make sure that other people don't, because there's no incentive to help your cause when you think that we're all cultists because we don't jump off the Trump bandwagon when you found it convenient, because it's actually about convenience. It's right. It's very much about money.
Well, it's about the grift. It always it's was about the grift. Because why did people know who she was? It's because she was right. such a loud person for MAGA.
Yeah.
That was so, her whole grift was MAGA.
It was very hard to hear, and we don't want to make the whole show out this because there's so many more
interesting. I will say one last thing before we move on. Like, if you think she's a horrible person, you have
no idea.
You guys genuinely have no idea. There really is certain things that for the sake of just peace, life, focusing on the things that we need to focus on and not adding on more bullshit, that we make the decision not to talk about. But trust when we tell you that if you think she's a horrible person, you have no idea exactly what a horrible, despicable person she is.
She'll like screw over her friends for whatever. Yeah. And as far as the Fresh and Fit podcast, the first thing that I'm going to say is that
we called it. That's
and
the
I
first
know,
thing we're going
to
say.
Is I don't know if it. We said it live, but we've said it to ourselves multiple times because now they're being targeted by Media Matters. What happens is that Media Matters, which is funded by George Soros, they're basically exposing right wing extremism. And whenever a new organization or a movement starts,
any kind of opposition.
Any type
narrative.
Of opposition, they literally assign journalists to follow that group or that content of the organization. They're doing it to Moms for Liberty.
They have at least seven assigned to the Manosphere.
To
right
the Manosphere,
to Fresh and Fit.
Right. So their entire like funnel to get you the platform, which is what I think it's going to happen with Fresh and Fit on YouTube, is to create a narrative that they're so extreme, they're so misogynistic, they're also now bringing on Nick Fuentes, who's a Holocaust denier and a white nationalist. So now they're have an avenue to request for Twitter to ban them. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Fresh and Fit completely offline on YouTube,
which is terrible.
Which
not
is
something
terrible.
That we would ever want. We don't advocate for that at all.
We're not
going to
be on the side of the censorship.
Having suffered that ourselves. Absolutely.
Let me just
not.
Say that we are not advocating ever for the censorship of Fresh and Fit or anybody else. It doesn't matter who it is. We're just explaining to you how it works because we've seen it happen. They've tried to do it in Moms for Liberty as well. They just released an entire, they actually sent people to this event. They sent a reporter to the Moms for Liberty summit that just happened last weekend. So she could report on everything, including their food. She literally made posts about how much food and how elegant it was and how much money they must have because they were serving cocktails or this. They made a post about milk. They literally went, they're so insane that they took a picture of the coffee table and they said, oh, they have liberal milk, oat milk, almond milk, soy milk. And I'm like, this is literally what our journalists are paid to do.
Having having experienced firsthand that funnel that Linda just explained of how it is that they use publications like Media Matters to label your content and then use that to pressure these platforms to deplatform you and become a problem. It's unfortunate, but we feel like out of naiveness and not knowing any better, because these people have never really been involved in the political sphere and they're just now kind of like dabbing into it because of the association with Fuentes. It's unfortunate, but I feel like they're being very naive and very careless because they feel like they're on top of the world right now.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is that these publications...
No one is more powerful than these people.
You might think Media Matters is no big deal. It's just a little publication, but it's not Media Matters in itself is the machine behind it. That's just a place to be able to document your quote-unquote behavior, your misbehavior,
your content,
right? So that then they can use that to pressure companies. And make no mistake, this is going to bring a lot of attention, not just to Fresh and Fit, but to all of the other red pill content that's out there.
Pearl is going to get some
Sure. I wouldn't be surprised, and I hope that that's not the case. I don't want to see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing more articles that read YouTube continues to allow.
Right. The way that they ended that article about Fuentes being on Fresh and Fit was actually like they didn't just stop at YouTube. They said the FCC, which regulates everything, the media, broadband, and broadband companies, continue to allow this type of content because there's no moderation. Could you imagine if we get the FCC to start moderating what goes on even more now that comes from the federal government as opposed to these companies, as private companies, having regulations in terms of services? It's going to be really bad. I watched some of the I didn't watch the Fresh and Fit podcast between Fuentes and the girls, or the one that he had just with them. The one that I saw was a debate between Destiny and Sneeko and some crazy guy, Zerka, and Nick, and the guys from Fresh and Fit that were only moderating. I thought that Destiny was fumbling a little bit when he wouldn't admit that the ADL does have a target on Nick's back. Everyone knows that. We know that. The whole world knows that. He's not allowed to be on Twitter. The reason why he's not allowed to be on Twitter is because he's a Holocaust denier. And as a result, the ADL has a target on their back, and they pressured Twitter to not let him on because it would upset the advertisers.
So I think that that's the part, that part right there that you just said, I think it's actually the part that Destiny got wrong, because in his logic, he's like, oh, the ADL has a $500 million budget, but Meta makes trillions of dollars and Twitter makes billions of dollars. So you really think that this little budget is what makes the difference? No, that's actually not how it works at all. That budget is actually used to, I don't want to say buy off, but to influence politicians. Doesn't take a lot. I mean, we have George Soros openly talking about how all it takes is $10,000 to buy a state rep or a senator. It takes very little little financial influence to steer a politician a certain way. And the pressure that comes towards Twitter and Meta doesn't come directly from the ADL, despite the fact that they do also get pressure from the ADL. The real pressure gets applied when the ADL uses their funds to push legislation that can be used against Twitter and Facebook. That's where the problematic comes in. So, you know, Destiny made it a point like, oh, you know, they don't really have the budget for that. I think that you're just kind of paranoid. It's like, well, They're not paranoid. And it's not just the ADL. It's also the ACLU and many other organizations.
And
like
the federal government as well. And the feds.
That spend a significant amount of money lobbying our government to pass laws or acts or whatever it may be that are protective of this one group of people. Yep. So, you know, for him to say that that's not the case, I do agree that there's definitely a heightened sense of paranoia that maybe exists on the internet when talking about these things that's maybe unjustified, but there is an aspect of it that very much is.
Yeah.
And the censorship really does exist, and it's a censorship that's really only one-sided for one group of people. And it's not that there's anything wrong with recognizing that. I think that we should just accept that it's like, well, you know, if the certain laws exist to protect certain groups, then they should exist to protect all groups.
And you know what? The last thing I'll say, because we're already 23 minutes into the stream, is that it sucks. Like, it sucks that you're not allowed to question one event in history. And that might sound horrible to some people. And you may think, well, that's wrong. That's right. Freedom of speech, as written by the Constitution, doesn't have a limit on what you can and cannot say, right? We know that it's, if it's threats or violence, then it becomes different, that you're entering into dangerous territory for free speech. The problem here is that you can't question or talk about one group of people, a very small minority. And that is that, I feel like it's not just problematic in terms of speech, but it also makes people research more, because it sparks curiosity. You know that saying, curiosity killed a cat? And so I think that they're actually creating more of a what do I call this?
Well, it feeds the conspiracy.
It feeds the conspiracy.
It feeds the conspiracy that there's a censorship of that there's a particular censorship when you do censor people to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
but let's move on to some of the things that we've got planned out for today. Let's talk about what's really taking Twitter by storm.
Oh, this is my favorite. I was having a field day on Twitter.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Here we go. So Margot Robbie was cast in Barbie explicitly because she isn't pretty enough to alienate a female audience. The latest narrative taking the manosphere and red pill by storm is that Margot Robbie is not the overwhelmingly beautiful woman that she is, but that she's just average because compared to what she looked like when she was in her early 20s, you can tell she's aged some and therefore she's no longer attractive. And she was only casted in the Barbie movie because her looks would not alienate people so, and make people feel insecure about themselves.
This guy, by the way, is an alien account. You can't see his face. You can't see who he is. So we don't know what the hell he looks like. We don't know what we're working with here. We don't know if he's ugly or hot or whatever, because that's how they are, right? But forget that. He's replying back to Brittany Martinez, somebody I actually know, a beautiful model. And Brittany had, what she had to say was, if that were the case, then women would have not turned tuned into the Victoria's Secret shows. The majority of people that tuned in to watch the Victoria's Secret shows back in the day when they were at its peak, when it was Tyra Banks and Giselle and all these beautiful women, it was females. Females that were admiring these women, whether their beauty standards were not, what is it called? It was like
unrealistic
or not. Women were still tuning in to the Victoria's Secret show to see those girls walk that stage. Most of them were 6 feet, 110 pounds, or whatever it was. Most women don't look like Giselle Bundchen. Most women don't look like Adriana Lima. We just don't. And that's okay. But women admire beauty. That's why when you were a little girl, you wanted to play with the Barbie. You wanted to have the vet Barbie. And you wanted to have the she was president at one point. And
prom Barbie. And prom and Barbie. Cowboy Barbie. And elegant. And everything. She was great. So I had gone with the wind Barbies.
And the here's the thing. We can't blame someone for having different beauty standards. You may be attracted to Black women. You may be attracted to Asian women. You may say white girls are ugly and you like Latinas best, right? That's your taste. But the reality is that you don't change a lot from 23 to 33. Depending on the race, some women may have more wrinkles or stuff like that, laugh lines, whatever. But Margot Robbie is still a beautiful woman. Yesterday, she was stunning on the red carpet with a beautiful pink dress. And at night, she had her red dress. And I personally don't, I wouldn't say she looks 23. I'd say maybe she looks 27. Maybe she looks 27, 28.
Right.
Closer to 30. But it's not something
that is... But I mean, in fairness, when she looked 23, she looked 27, 28.
Yes. That's the thing. You don't think of the girl from Wolf of Wall Street as a much younger girl. When you saw the Duchess, that's what she was in the movie. I always thought she was in her late 20s. That's what I thought. I never thought the Duchess was like a 22, 20-year-old. I always thought she was in her late 20s, but there's a lot of men that came. Obviously, this guy knows what he's doing. He's really just like, he knows how to get engagement. This tweet got millions of views. It was everywhere. It was on TikTok. It was everywhere. And so,
which opens up the real conversation, right? Because inarguably, as we've mentioned several times, yes, more often than not, you are going to be a hotter version of yourself in your 20s and your 30s. Inarguably. All right, cool. We got that out of the way. The problem, however, is the audacity
of these men.
Of the most average and below average men on the internet to think that their take on Robbie is relevant because.
Yeah.
There is no reason. These are below average men that didn't have access to Margot Robbie when she was 22, didn't have access to Margot Robbie when she was 33, and will not have access to Margot Robbie when she's 45 or 65 either.
Ever. That's the problem.
That's the problem. And where then, is it's the- not just that they don't have access to Margot Robbie. They don't not only have access to Margot Robbie, they don't have access to women that look like Margot Robbie either. And that's where the conversation comes in. Because what we find when Linda says revenge of the incels mm-hmm. is that these men have taken out their resentment towards the beautiful women yeah. that never paid attention to them by punishing them for getting older.
Right, which is something that you really can't control. It's like you get older and that's just life, and men get older too. Can you show the picture of the nerd, one of the nerds? This is one of the
let me see if I added his picture. I don't think
damn,
I
damn we caught a few of the pictures of the men.
I've been telling you need to start a thread on Twitter where it's just the close-up of the picture and their unbelievable
yeah.
tweet.
Yeah,
but let's actually read through some of these like incel tweets, please. All right. Margot Robbie is just what you would expect an average, non-deformed, metabolically healthy white woman to look like. So this apparently makes her a 10 in 2023.
Look at the girls over there, just flabbergasted. Flabbergasted, huh? Flabbergasted. Margot Robbie is just what you would expect an average. I mean, non-deformed, like seriously,
it's we're so really going way there. Past that, dude.
It's just like, I don't even know.
You look up statistics, and statistically, they say that only 8.8% of all of the world's population is considered over the top beautiful and attractive, and something like only 11% of people are considered attractive. If those numbers are in fact accurate, yeah. then Margot Robbie is absolutely in the top 10-15% yeah. of that at a minimum, right? Yeah. Like yeah. how can this argument be made? And of course, from an anonymous account. Let's move on to another one. She looked better in Wolf of Wall Street. Looks are fading.
I will say that you know, for somebody mentioned that for Caucasians, for white women, they do age faster. And I don't mean this as an insult. It's just, you guys know that it just is what it is. If you look at blacks, if you look at Asians and some Latinos, not all, there is a significant difference. Like you'll see some who was it? It was some guy that were you with me when I met the father of a University of Miami or no Dolphins football player here at the lobby. And I don't want to tell you guys where we are, but here at the lobby one time when we were meeting to start the podcast. And this man told me his age and I was shooketh to my core, this black man. And I'm like, he didn't look a day past like 40 years old. So there are certain races that are going to hold up a little bit more and it's not going to show the age. But, you know, also you got to understand this in the Wolf of Wall Street. And I saw a video about it a few days ago. They were trying to make the Duchess look like a very sexual person who was using her body and looks, right? Remember the scene where she takes off her clothes? She had just met Leonardo DiCaprio and she takes off her clothes the first night that they go out so they can have sex. And it was like an exchange between his money and her body and looks. So even you got to understand that when they make these movies too, you're going to get the makeup and look of what they want you, the watcher, the viewer, to perceive. Barbie is not going to have that sexuality. The men were actually making that argument as well. Like, where are the big tits on this Barbie? Where the hell are the milk juggers? Barbie was supposed to be a petite girl with a skinny waist and average hips. And yes, maybe B cup, maybe a small C cup.
They were bigger compared to her other measurements. Yes. But like she was not like the dolls. I never remember looking at a Barbie and being like, wow, look at those knockers. Mm-hmm. Like, they were boobs.
Yes, yes.
That were clearly fetishized by a lot of these men when right. they were young. And now the memory that they have of Barbie's boobs are like porn star boobs. And right. it's like, dude, it's, plastic doesn't hold up that
way. It was really weird. And you could also see, I think a lot of it too is the psychology of how porn has affected mostly men's brains, because porn was created for men. It wasn't created for women. So if you watch porn all the time and you have these unrealistic expectations, when some of these porn stars have triple D boobs and they have BBLs and you know, they're full on makeup, like think about it. Are you always going to have sex with your husband with full makeup and like perfect lingerie? And, you know, it's not going to be that way every single day. So I think a lot of it is that these men are there. And it's also social media. Go to Instagram, see all the girls with also BBLs. And they
on Photoshop enhanced Photoshop pictures.
So of course you're gonna sit down and say, "Well, shit, I've seen hotter women than what's her name, Margot Robbie on Instagram itself." They also pointed out that it should have been maybe Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney is the star of Euphoria. She's very young.
Sydney Sweeney doesn't give Barbie to me.
She does not have the Barbie look at all. She's very sensual. She's got a very,
but you know what it is? She's also got a very youthful face.
Right.
Because she's got the more rounder face and the whole nine. That's not what Barbie looked like. No. Somebody just mentioned in the chat, bro, Barbie was like a doctor, an astronaut, a nurse. Yes. Like Barbie wasn't supposed to be like round looking, almost childish looking, which is what Sydney Sweeney has, that she does look very youthful
Sydney's pretty. We're not saying she's beautiful, not pretty, but she has a different
but
look,
it's a different,
right?
She's
a different
beautiful look. For another reason. Right. Margot Robbie has a very defined bone structure. She's very, they have a name for that when you're like very pointy, like that there's like, triangular images in her face. Anyways, point of the matter is that Margot Robbie looks like Barbie. If you were to ask me who looks more like Barbie, Sweeney or Margot Robbie, I'm going to say Margot Robbie 1,000% of the time.
Right. And also the casting, right? Like, I was telling her that when I watched the Little Mermaid with Hailey Bailey, is that her last name? She did a phenomenal job in The Little Mermaid. I knew why she got cast. Like, I watched the movie. I was like, I get it. I get where she was casted. She had the voice, was like an angel. She played the Little Mermaid role of like being very innocent and bubbly and kind and cute and adventurous. So there is, there's also the casting. Like, we don't know what she did. But do we have another of the weirdos?
Oh, yeah, we got more weirdos. Hold on. We got more weirdos. Another weirdo. The Margot Robbie is mid-discourse is some of the dumbest shit I've seen on the website. Some of you need some help. And they're like, she's mid, though. Or she was. Now she's old.
She's old. Guys, I'm
Linda's
sorry.
New thing my is, new thing I'm just, is, an, I'm just old an old lady.
Like, my lower back is hurting. And I was like, I'm just an old lady. Like, I'm just an old lady. you know, what we got to say is this. I know there's a lot of men who say that women have been abusing them for years, calling them short and fat and making fun of their looks. Sure, that's true. I don't think that's not true. But the reality is that men are not going to be judged like women are over their looks, like at all.
There you go. You'll always see in the chat, Margot is average white broad. Bismarck says Margot is average white broad. Margot is in shape, but she's plain in the face. And I don't want her. I can and am doing better.
Well, you're here crying about her
from an anonymous page. So, like, why don't you drop your full name on the chat along with your city? I want to see. I mean, if you're living so great, then for sure you have a Facebook, an Instagram, or something that we can all check out and judge for ourselves to see how great your options are. I don't think that you really get a say from your anonymous account to try and convince us that you can do better than Margot Robbie. This is the problem, that a lot of these people are delusional. And I promise you that this man right here has at best a 4 available to him, and that's who he's in love with, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Look at me, I'm a 3 and I'm winning at life. You need to understand your position. And that's the problem.
I've always said that. I need to understand their place in life.
You need to understand your place in life, and you need to understand your position. You can sit here and judge Margot Robbie and say, I'm doing better than Margot Robbie. Blah, blah, blah. Are you in? You don't have that as an option available to you. Margot Robbie's not available to you today. She wasn't available to you 10 years ago. She's not going to be available to you 10 days from now. It's never going to happen. Yeah. And that is indeed the cope, that you guys feel like you as an average nobody, because it's what the majority of us are. You, just like me, I'm not downing you. Yeah. An average nobody feels like you get a say on how all women are rated to what? Rated to what? To the women that you can Google on Pornhub?
Literally.
Or the women that you actually have access to. Because I promise you, if I line up five of your girlfriends, not one of them can get close to Margot Robbie at 45 years old.
I like this comment. In 2023, everyone's ugly. I guess so, Kenneth. We're going to give a shout out to Kenneth. Everyone's okay. Ugly. You know what? Sure.
Fair enough, Kenneth.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's go to the pearly tweet.
All right. Now, let's talk about what's going on with this conversation. And one of our bigger concerns with this conversation is where it is that it's headed. Because what we're seeing...
I mean, we called it. There's something that we have to preface here because it's not a cope. Men, not all men, but if men could, they wouldn't have a problem. Some of them sleeping with teens. What?
The same guy writes, Lori Harvey can get it though.
That's Lori Harvey.
This guy was Harvey, Steve Harvey's wife. She's like an older lady.
Oh, well, you're into older ladies. That's okay. Like, that's okay too.
You like, you know?
You're
girls,
like older ladies and darker girls. And you know what? That's who you like. That's what I said. Some people like black girls. Some people like Latina. Some people like whites. And that's okay.
You guys crack me up in the fucking chat sometimes, bro. What you were saying, how we had called this ahead of time with the direction of the red pill.
Yes, I just think that a lot of this talk of shaming women for their age, which is something they can't control, or shaming women for their looks and stuff, a lot of it, especially with the aging stuff, which is like, you know, once you hit 27, you're basically you're dead. You're an old lady or 30. More and more, they're starting to lower the age as to where when a woman should start procreating. And I said that to her, and I said a few months ago, I don't even think it was that recent.
I said,
I promise you, these people are going to start making the case for child brides, because back in the day, that's how it was. Women were popping children at 14 and 15 and 16, and almost immediately after they started ovulating and they started getting their period. And so We have gone past that. We have moved on from that. I think most people can honestly say that having a child at 14 when you're still a child, or 15 or 16, shouldn't be normalized. I understand some cultures still do that, but that's not something that we do in America. However, yesterday, women are being shamed for not being married by 30 or whatever it is, this is what Miss Pearl had to say. She said, is it better for 16-year-old women to get married or stay single until 21? Most people say stay single, which is something that I would agree with. I had no business getting married at 16 years old, and I would not want my daughter married at 16 years old. But again, this is not about me coping because I'm older or her. It's about normalizing pedophilia. It's about normalizing sex with teens. And I promise you that they're going to start shaming us for saying that, because don't you just want your 16-year-old daughter to be married so she's not a whore by the time she's 21? And now there's an argument for we shouldn't let girls go to high school. We shouldn't let girls study at all. I mean, shit, I've heard better arguments from the Taliban. I genuinely think that the Taliban has better views of women than these people. And I'm going to tell you why, because the Taliban actually makes the case when they took over Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And there was this whole thing where they're going to take women's education and they're not going to let women go to school. I was super into it. And I was researching so much, following all these accounts, seeing where they were out to. And one of the things that the Taliban said was like, yes, we are a patriarchy, and we do have, we will separate our common areas, everything by gender, whatever. Like, they're not saying they're not who they are, but their thing is, the reason why we do need women to become doctors and teachers and to have certain positions in life is because we are a gendered, separated society. So we do not want women to go to the gynecologist who is a male. So I want to know the people that are making the case for women to not go to school, for women to just be housewives. Are we just supposed to go to doctors? Am I supposed to just go to a gynecologist who's just a male? Like, how would that, you understand what I mean?
No, and then like no teachers that are women. Like, you want your children around no teachers? Male teachers. Like, there's a lot of The thing is with the manosphere is that they take away all of the gifts, the God-given gifts that women have, and they will bring us down to you're just birthing people, no different than
that's,
the left.
That's
does,
what they said. That's actually something that Nick Fuentes said the other day, and they quoted him in Media Matters that women were only baby poppy machines. And that is why, I mean, he's still young, and I understand that this is his platform, but this is the thing that they don't understand. It's this inflammatory comment in an occupation, which is where we live. In a very you can't joke about the Holocaust, you can't joke about, you know, certain minorities or whatever, you can't joke about you, it's going to create a brand problem, and that's why they don't want to let you in these platforms.
Yeah
I don't agree with it, but
they've just the way they've really narrowed down women to just like, oh, you give birth and what else do you do? And then they'll even have the audacity to be like, oh, that's all that you do? Well, it's kind of a pretty big deal if society collapses because women aren't having babies.
Yeah.
But no, that's not all that we do, because nurturing is not a male capacity. A man is not supposed to be in that energy.
Well, today they also made the case.
Creation is a female energy, not a male energy. And it's not to say that one is better than the other. I'd make no argument. I think that in a lot of ways of what society considers to be valuable, whether it be leadership, peer recognition, money, whatnot, that men do tend to exceed, to succeed better in those positions in life than women do, because they are genetically built in order to be able to do that. Yeah. But when it comes to raising children, when it comes to caring for the old, when it comes to creative energy, there's a reason why muses, why creators, why people that are geniuses say that they have a muse. A muse tends to be a woman because it's female energy.
Unless you're gay, of course.
So it's right. So to me, the bigger problem is the narrowing women down to looking at these feminine contributions that are there as gifts from God to women to provide to men, because God does create woman as a partner to man, because God recognizes that man needs a helper in this life. I think that the manosphere, very similar to what feminism does, where they call the most beautiful thing that God created in men with it, which is masculinity, call that toxic. They've done the same thing to women and what it is that they have to offer by calling what we have to offer not toxic, but insignificant.
Right. They actually make the case as well that women are not the best mothers either. That's now they're attacking mothers. So
they don't want to pay child support.
They have gone through just attacking like older women who are not married to younger girls who are OnlyFans to mothers for certain reason. So I think it's pretty telling where we are, which is should we normalize girls at 16 giving birth and not going to high school and instead just getting married?
Like Pearlie, I mean, and Pearlie's going to get here eventually, because just last week,
well, that's why she did it.
Pearlie was talking about how at 20, that if they're really, she feels that women hit the wall. Let me take us out of this view here. But Pearlie commented that she felt like women hit the wall at 21, because at 21 years old, you can already start seeing some laugh lines. I need a minute. I want to say a couple of things about Pearlie before we move on to the next topic. Pearlie really has given herself a self-appointed authority because of the popularity that she has, a popularity that she's been able to achieve through hacking the algorithm. She's an amazing content creator. She knows how to get people talking about her. So she's very good at her job. However, nobody points out the fact that Pearlie is a walking contradiction to the things that she preaches. She doesn't take good care of herself physically. She doesn't know how to cook. The only real relationship she's ever had was with a man who was a single father and was broke, but he had a lot of clout. So she was hypergamous, and where she chased a man that had more clout than she was. Pearlie is 100% focused on her career, not in finding a man. She's already 27 years old. She has no kids. She has no relationship. Pearlie is constantly surrounded by other men, which is something that the manosphere claims they don't want from women. So it's not just a fact that she has no life experience, which is very obvious, but she seems to think that it's not a big deal, is that your life testimony contradicts the very lifestyle that you claim the rest of women should be living.
Yeah.
And that's what's problematic, because nobody could be further from your own standards, Pearlie, than you are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty pretty sad how
Pearly she was born the at the wall. I mean, yeah. Like, honestly, like, I just feel like if yeah. you're, I know women that self-identify as lower than fives. I know many women that self-identify as that. And those women tend to take much better care of themselves because they realize that they're in a dating market that requires you to compete mm-hmm. against women that are much more beautiful. The disregard that she puts into competing in that market shows disrespect to me about yeah. dating in general, because you'll sit here and you'll knock every other woman that takes care of herself, that gets Botox, that works out. Oh, well, you're nothing more than plastic surgery, or you're only this because you're also, or you're only this because you're young. She'll sit there and she'll do all of that while taking zero pride in her own femininity. And it's not just visual looks, is you're mad opinionated, you're always surrounded by men, you're completely focused on your career. So I guess that I fail, you're not a virgin, so I fail to understand where your value is. Oh, you don't lack value. So then the reality is that you this ideology that you follow has placed you as less valuable within your own ideology. So in order to make yourself feel better, you have to lower the value of all other women with the same ideology that you have, so that you feel like, well, at least I'm not at the bottom of the barrel.
You know, something else is that usually somebody asked in the chat, why don't you guys like statistics? I think that's what he said. Why don't you guys like statistics? I'm going to tell you why, because you do not live in a world, you don't walk around your life thinking that everything is a statistic. Because are you going to drive and think that statistically you could be killed by a drunk driver? Are you going to see a person of color on the street and think that statistically that person could commit a crime? Are you going to think that because you are 32 years old, statistically, you're going to have a harder time trying for children or whatever it may be? Listen, I don't disagree with statistics, and I don't think I'm not saying that we should completely stay away from statistics and shy away from them and let's all live in a blind world, but you don't live that way. If we are talking about dating as an example, suppose that you're a 25-year-old man. You just graduated. You're making good money. Let's say you're working for Citibank. I don't know what you're making, $100,000, maybe less, maybe more. You're going to have a set of standards. Maybe you want a girl who is between 21 years old, so you can take her out for a drink, and maybe you'll say, I can take up to 3 years older than me, right? So if I'm 25, I want someone that's younger or my age, and maybe I can consider someone who's 3 years older than me for procreation reasons or whatever it may be. If you meet a girl that's at the cutoff age that you decided those were going to be your standards for dating, suppose she is 29 years old and you're 25 years old. I'm not talking about a huge difference. I'm not saying that you should be with an old lady like us, but I'm saying suppose that she's 29. If you vibe with this person, if she's a good person, let's say she's not a single mom, she's never been married, she's not a hoe, she meets all those requirements. Are you seriously going to sit here and say that you are not going to date this 29-year-old girl, that she could be four years older than you or whatever because of statistics?
I've got one statistic.
I've got one statistic.
So according to the Manosphere, 40% of men are getting all the women and the other 60% of men don't get any women at all. So for somebody, the man that's asking for statistics, I ask you, is it healthy to tell that 60% of men that they have no options, that the best way for them to get a woman is to be completely arrogant towards them, to be assholes toward them, to treat them bad, to manipulate them? I'm sorry, but that's not the best advice that you can give that 60% that doesn't have access to women.
Somebody said 29 is traumatized. And that's another.
Well, before I even engage in this, the person who said that 29 is traumatized, how old are you? Because it's all based off perspective, right? If you're 21 years old, then I can see why you think that a 29-year-old person is traumatized. Unless you're a 45-year-old man, don't come talk to me about what a 29-year-old does, because chances are that you're probably younger than 29 and that's why you think that, which you're entitled to. I don't encourage a 21-year-old man to date a 30-year-old woman because there's not going to be a lot of compatibility there. Not to say that 30-year-old women don't get hit by young men all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that the 21-year-old man should recognize a 30-year-old woman. But I want to know how old it is that you are.
Well, and they talk about body count, which is why I think that they will make the argument.
Somebody who's very young.
I think that they will make the argument eventually of, if I can get a 16-year-old who is a virgin, I'd rather have a girl with no body count. Now,
The body count is the most irrelevant thing. Let me explain something to you.
I've never heard of this much talk
since high school
and stress around body count until 2023. I don't want you to get mad at me. I don't want you to think that I'm just capping or that I'm coping or that I'm trying to hide my body count. I swear on my life, I was in the liquor industry. I was surrounded by men. 70% of the people that I worked with were men, young men from 21 all the way to 65 years old. I never heard men talk about body count. And let me tell you something. I went to strip clubs with this man. We'd have dinners with this man. They talk about women with this man. They talk about everything, sex, all these conversations. I never, never heard men talk about body count.
Body count
or stress
is the number one thing.
This is a new, but that's a phenomenon that you just acquired
right now. Let me tell you something now about body count. A woman's body count will be displayed to you through her actions,
yes,
and through her character.
How she dresses,
you guys
how
say
she
it
acts.
All the time that all women lie about their body count. So asking a woman, what is your body count, is the most irrelevant thing I've ever heard in my entire life. There are girls that are 19 years old that have a higher body count than me at almost 40. The body count question is stupid. You need to ask yourself, how does a woman carry yourself? Because a woman could be a virgin, but she could land on with her mouth on the dick of every single last one of your homies, but she's saving herself. Mm-hmm. You can have a girl who's a virgin, but she likes to hook up with you one day and hook up with your homie the next and hook up with the next guy the next.
Yeah. I don't
a I woman's mean, body I, count I, is I irrelevant when you when you can started. When you can watch her yeah. character. The most important thing about being able to tell if a woman is a hoe is not by asking her how many people have you slept yeah. with, because like you very well have pointed out, the hoe's probably going to lie to you anyways.
No, obviously,
the best way to determine if a woman is a hoe is by just watching how it is that she behaves. Take her around your friends. How does she act? How does she dress?
With them?
Give her a couple of drinks. How does she act after she's had a couple of drinks? How does she act around your family? How does she act around her family? How does
how
she act around her friends? How easy is she? When you take her places, how does she react to other men? Does she turn her gaze down? Like, these are all things that are important and will help you determine if a woman is in fact a hoe or not. Hoe is an energy.
Right.
Hoe has nothing to do with body count, because yeah. I've met girls that maybe have body counts that are relative to other people but are fucking hoes because of the way that they handle themselves. Yeah. Because if you were making out with one guy at the club the other night and then you called up the other guy so that he can come home and then you guys, you know, fooled around and then you went on and you went on a date with another guy, that's already some kind of hoish tendencies, and maybe you didn't even sleep with anybody.
I didn't say that being a flirt with you was being a hoe, but there are women, and I've had women, I'm no longer friends with this type of woman, that when we would go around when we were younger and we were, let's say there was, I don't know, we were at a party or whatever, there was a guy group and then there was us, girl group. And there's an even amount for girls and boys to chat and mingle and whatever. And there's always that one hoe, because it's about the whole energy. I'm not saying that she's doing whole things in front of everybody, that needs to flirt with every single man in the room or at the club. So would you consider it not being, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but if you take this girl that you're dating on the third date, you like her, she's cool, you guys are vibing, and you take her for the first time around your boys, you go to the ale house, your boys are there, and she starts talking and flirting with your guy, with one of your best friends for longer than you, and she's paying attention to that guy, do you think that's a good sign or do you think that's a red flag? Because I think that's a red flag.
Do you need to know how many bodies she's had?
Because I think that's a red flag.
Probably bad news.
Yeah,
it just seems. And he's like, you say that you're 40. Are you married? I want to know if you're married to like your high school sweetheart that was like a virgin. Like, I would imagine that you are, because you've got these standards. I mean, you're 40. I hope that you're not expecting to find a virgin at 40, because then
no.
It goes back to the other conversations. That
Which is what
weird.
The older guys, they want to go to Colombia. They want to go, what's the other country? Philippines. Get these very young girls. Anyways, what was her other topic?
Our other topic that we have is Mr. Jonah Hill. So Jonah Hill, I don't have a picture of Jonah Hill, but you guys know Jonah Hill.
21 Jump Street.
Jonah Hill is getting a ton, Linda's favorite Jew.
It's my favorite Jew.
Jonah Hill is getting a lot of heat because his ex-girlfriend has released some text messages of him making some demands or requests, if you will, about their relationship. And she outed him. So let's go over and read some of this. And we kind of want to get your take on what's going on here, because we do have opinions about the Jonah Hill thing. So Jonah Hill was dating this young lady. She's a pro surfer, worth mentioning. Her job is to surf.
That means she's in a lot of bikinis, and she posts pictures on Instagram of her in on the beach and with bathing suit and stuff like that. So,
why isn't this loading up? All right, here we go. So these are the text messages that were leaked by Jonah Hill's current ex-girlfriend. Like, this is a warning to all girls. If your partner likes talking to you like this, make an exit plan. Love y'all. Call me if you need anything. Call me if you need an ear. And then it's a picture. It's him responding to a picture of her surfing. And he writes, respect however you want to live your life. You only get one. Sort of done with explaining myself. Like, I removed not the video yet. It is my best surfing video. Would you feel better if the cover frame was something different? Any more specific ones that bother you? He's like, yes, one that isn't of your ass in a thong.
What does it say at the bottom? Not a what?
Not a thong.
But okay.
Not a thong, but okay.
I need to go see this.
Then it proceeds. Plain and simple, and this is his list of demands. This is really the message that has gone viral. Plain and simple, if you need surfing with men, boundaryless inappropriate friendships with men, to model, to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures, friendships with women who are in unstable places and from your wild recent past, beyond getting a lunch or coffee or something respectful, then I'm not the right partner for you. If these things bring you to a place of happiness, I support it, and there will be no hard feelings. These are my boundaries for romantic partnership. My boundaries with you based on the ways that these actions have hurt our trust.
Wow. The first thing I got to say is that I just noticed that the date on these text messages are from 2021. What a petty bitch.
What a petty bitch.
You are so fucking petty. Like, how dare, like 2 years ago, literally 2 years ago. I had not noticed that. I thought it was from last year. This is just.
So basically bizarre. She just released this because they broke
Worth
up.
Worth mentioning that Jonah Hill's current girlfriend, forgive me if she's the wife, I don't know that, is actually pregnant. So she decided to be so petty and launched this scandal in text messages as his baby. Oh, he just had the baby. Okay. So he just had a baby. I'm sorry. Worth mentioning that this person is such a piece of crap that she wants to ruin his current joyful moment with his partner and child. Let me just say something. If you decided to get, because this is a liberal woman, by the way, and I'm pretty sure Jonah Hill is as well. If you engage in a relationship with a woman whose Instagram and or job is to be a model, or in this case, a surfer, which means that you are in a bathing suit and you have already seen this person's social media or what they post, because I am 100% sure that he saw her content before he even approached her.
Yes.
I'm 100% sure. So the first thing is that you're choosing, and by the looks of it, he chose the wrong type of women. A lot of men talk about women need accountability and how they choose the wrong partners. And that's why they end up being single moms. Well, what do you have to say about this? That's where I'm going, because I'm not mad at what he said. I'm not mad at his boundaries.
I'm not mad at
what he wrote, or saying that he's an asshole or he's misogynistic or narcissistic or whatever she called him. But you cannot get mad if you got into a relationship with someone like that. It's just like what Kanye West did to Kim Kardashian when he had his Christian conversion or whatever it was, mm-hmm. where he was obsessed with Kim's body. He loved Kim Kardashian after the sex tape, when she was when she saw a sex symbol, when she was at her highest status as a sex symbol. She did Playboy. She did all these things. Kanye West knew that from day one. He knew that she was out there in a bikini, in a thong, whatever it was, showing off her body. And that's what she was known for, because she has no talent. Now, 10 years into your relationship or 5 years into your relationship, you want Kim Kardashian, whose job is to do that, to be hot, to entertain, to sell her skims, to start covering up. I find that problematic, because you knew who she was before you married her, right? So it's very different if you meet this person and they're not doing any of this, and all of a sudden they want to start showing off their ass, and they want to start showing cleavage, and they want to start showing stuff. Everything he said right now, which we talked about on the phone, this is a respectful man.
This is a man
that's respectful. This is a man that has manners. He's not calling her name. He's not calling her a whore or whatever it is. And these are very basic stuff that any boyfriend would want. Would you really want your girlfriend or potential wife to go surf with a bunch of dudes? I sure as hell wouldn't.
I think that this is a mistake that men and women both make alike, right? I think I've told you about my theory of dating, about the list, about my strategy, where it's like, when you're out there, you really got to think of all of the qualities that you would want a partner to have of you. And then you need to look at that list, and you really need to narrow down that list to the top five things. It's not that the other things are not important, but you need to narrow down that list to the top five. And when you narrow down those top five most important things to you about the person that you want to date, it is your responsibility to find that. It is not the other person's responsibility to change into that for you. All the other things is compromise. All the other things you can work on. But those five things are your responsibility to look for in a partner. Failing to do that part yourself does not put the blame on the other person. This woman wanted to be with him, but this is her career where he met her at. So the only problem that I have, his request, what was our first reaction that we had as soon as we read them?
Reasonable. Such a reasonable,
respectful man. Every single request that he is making is reasonable, until you realize that her job is to be a pro surfer, and that it's not reasonable to ask a pro surfer not to be in a bikini and not to promote her work while she's in a bikini, because she's not going to wear a burqa to the beach, because that's not where it is that she's at. So my problem is more so, I think I don't even have a problem. I think that this is a perfect example of two people that are not compatible.
That's really what it comes down to.
Not recognizing that they're not compatible. And this is an argument that we've made for the manosphere before. The manosphere doesn't take into account that preferences are irrelevant compared to compatibility. Yeah. You could be in Andrew Tate or what's the name of the one that we had as a guest on our show, or Sterling Cooper. Jay Waller. You can be one of those people, and you want to be in Dubai, and you want to be in the south of France, and you want to, you know, be with your bulls, and you want to do the man thing and fuck holes and do the whole nine. And that does, and you could prefer a 22-year-old hot, virgin, modest, from a good family. You could prefer that. And that does not mean that that woman's life is compatible to yours.
Yeah.
So I think that now that I see the date, she is petty. So fuck her for this. She is so petty.
She's horrible.
But when I really look at it, this is a lack. I'm glad that he got out of the relationship, because this is incredibly petty. But what I do see here is a lack of compatibility. And that doesn't make one person bad or another. Trying to fit a square peg into a round hole that doesn't fit is going to be a toxic situation for either person involved.
Yeah.
His boundaries are completely reasonable. I'm glad that he met a woman that does. And she's a petty bitch for this.
I want to say something to the women listening here. This is very important. Very, very important. Everything that he said was reasonable, but there's something that sticks out, and this is what it says. Friendships with women who are in unstable places and from your wild recent past, which That's a key word. Recent past. So he knows something about her past that he
that have like, already hurt our relationship already, right. at the end, so, have hurt our trust. So this so, means that she's already done some shady shit to him.
So, but the women part is this. There's a lot of times, especially when you're younger, right? And if you're in a big city, some of you may be in the country, things are different. If you get into a relationship and you have girlfriends who are single, I'm not saying they're bad people, but there are women out there who are not going to be good around you in that relationship. And you have to prioritize your relationship. And of course, if that's what you want to do, but you can't continue to go out with the girls and party and this and that, because you are now in a relationship with somebody else. And that it's worth mentioning, because when you are in your younger years, you make dumb mistakes and you don't take into consideration these types of problems, especially when it comes to your friends. You are who you surround yourself with. So if you are surrounding yourself with hoes and women that are sleeping around or are bad or are problematic or are dramatic or drug addicts or whatever it is, or they're envious or they're telling you, you shouldn't be in a relationship. Jonah's not a good guy. You could do better. You could do better. You don't want to be around those women. They're going to hurt not just your relationship, because maybe this is not the man for you. Who cares?
And it doesn't. And you know what it is? That's actually something that younger women will make a big mistake of. And yes. They'll be like, my girls come first. My girls come first. My girls. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Your priority is to build a family, to find a good man so that you can build a family with. And your girls do not have to be homies, friends, like your boyfriend, your husband, or whatever it is. Relationships are for grownups. And therefore, when you're in a relationship, you have to act like a grown-up. And part of that is understanding that being in a respectful relationship means that you don't need to be out in the clubs. It doesn't matter how young you are. You don't need to be out in the clubs every weekend. You don't need to be out on girls' nights, on girls' trips every other month. You don't need to be doing that. And if you choose to do that, then you're not going to be in a relationship. That's where it comes in. You can't have it.
Misery loves company. That's exactly what somebody said.
It sure does. And a lot of these hateful ass women. My advice also to the young women that listen to our show, because we're going to start becoming, we want to be a beacon for young women to stand up for themselves. But more advice to young women in their 20s. I know it feels like your girlfriends and your girls, and there's going to be some of those girls that are going to be your friends 10, 15, 20 years from now. But there's going to be a lot of those girls that you're going to look back 10, 15 years and you're going to be like, I cannot believe I had that snake around me for as long as I did. So the best thing that you can do to protect yourself, your relationships, in your future is to keep your man and his needs above that of your relationship with your girlfriends. Because a real girlfriend is going to be there for you, whether you haven't talked to her in a year or 6 months.
Yeah. And it's going to give you good advice. Like, they're not going to give you bad advice. You know, we're coming to an end of our show, but if you watch my story, I had a very controversial take this week. And I wasn't trying to put down Andrew Tate, as you guys know, if you've heard the podcast, especially people like Raina, Adam, those that we see you guys hear almost weekly, you know that we've defended Andrew Tate when it was necessary. Like when hoes lied about him and there were text messages exchanges about how they were going to set him up because they wanted to become famous and they knew that people hated him and stuff like that. My controversial take this week was, and it honestly came to me while I was like exercising and I was like, I'm just going to like stir the pot a little bit. And I said, you know, Andrew Tate, who sold women for sex. And I didn't mean that as a trafficker. I meant that as like, you're a pimp. Like you were managing these hoes online and you had a cam business, right? Like that's what you do. He becomes a male role model. He is, by society standards, he's pretty much forgiven and people love everything that he does and everything that he says. And Kim Kardashian, on the other hand, and let me just say this, I'm no Kardashian fan, but I'm also not a hater. Kim Kardashian had her sex thing come out over 15 years ago, I think, back in 2007. And she has not been able to, now that she's a billionaire, that she's in the billionaire status, that she has created a name for herself and
an empire for her and her family,
she's not redeemable. Somehow her wealth now, her brand, which is valued at $4 billion, Skims went from $3.2 billion to $4 billion in less than 5 years. She is still, everything that she does and all the money has been attributed to that one sex tape. And of course, my DMs blew the hell up from men saying that I was a liberal and a feminist and that I was lying about Andrew Tate, to them saying that how could I compare it to the Kardashians, that the difference is that at least Andrew Tate is saying good stuff for men, and Kim Kardashian was still using her body and all this stuff. And I said, but that's not the point. You understand? My point is, and I said this to the young women, you need to understand that we do live in a double standard society. I'm not bitching about it. I'm not crying about it. I've always known this, mm-hmm. which is why I've never done stuff that you could find me doing, you can use against me in my later years, because women will be completely judged completely different than men. A man like Andrew Tate can engage in an immoral business model, which is getting women to sell themselves online to creepy men behind the screen that are going to jerk off. Okay. And he can be redeemable. We're not talking about his legal issues. That's a separate situation. Whereas Kim Kardashian's sex tape, one sex tape, we are still talking about it as the main reason that she created a $1 billion empire. That drives me insane, nuts.
There was a gentleman writes, if not for the sex tape, which her mother promoted, Kim K would be unknown. That's actually
not true at all.
I was actually talking to today, Linda today about the timeline of this. Kim Kardashian was already getting recognition because during the early 2000s, there was a lot of attention to the culture of young party girls and the paparazzi, the Paris Hiltons, the Lindsay Lohans, the Britney Spears, so on and so forth. Kim Kardashian was a regular in those circles. And because Kim had a very distinct look that didn't look like the rest of the girls, she had already been getting attention. Right. In fact, it's why the sex tape blows up. It wasn't a Ray J sex tape. Nobody cared about Ray J. It was Ray J and Kim Kardashian. Now, was she uber famous? No, she was not. But the sex tape did gain recognition because her name and her Kardashian brand was already tied to it. In fact, immediately, you can even say that her celebrity status was immediately tied to her father and the O.J. Simpson case when the sex tape came out. So now it no longer became about just Ray J's sex tape. It became about this girl whose father was an attorney. So this argument that she was completely unknown.
I just researched it. She started working with Paris Hilton in 2003. She became an assistant to Paris Hilton back in 1998. And then when she started hanging out with Paris Hilton, 2003, the sex tape didn't come out until 2007. Years by 2003, later, we already knew who Kim Kardashian was.
There are pictures that I remember from the early 2000s that when it was Kim's birthday, she was wearing a red dress. Her and Paris were on a couch. They were partying. Those pictures went viral everywhere. It was a big deal. Here's the thing.
You don't need to feel sorry for her, my love. I don't feel sorry for a woman that flies private when my fucking ass still needs to go through TSA and try to get a window seat because I can't afford to fly private. I don't feel bad for this woman at all. I am talking about the double standards between men and women. That is all I'm saying.
This idea that her mom, here's the thing. That sex tape was released by Ray J, which is disgusting that a man would take an intimate moment and threaten to release that.
Well, he's saying that because of Candace Owens. All of this theory comes from Candace Owens because Candace Owens and Ray J decided to get together last year to say that it was the mom and her that strategized to leak the tape. Now, I ask you something. How does that prove the success that she has now? Let's say that she did, for the sake of this example. Let's say that they all met together and said, you know what's going to make you famous? We're going to do a sex tape and then we're going to leak it. And that's how you're going to become famous. Which, by the way, it's very hard to do because he's nowhere near her status. And if you want to compare it to somebody else, then why isn't Pamela Anderson at her status? Why isn't Pamela Anderson a billionaire? Why did Pamela Anderson just fade off after Baywatch and after whatever it was? She's not relevant at all. The most you've heard of Pamela Anderson in the last 10 years is that she's friends with Julian Assange.
What's this girl from Teen Mom, Farrah Abraham? Like, it shouldn't see exactly my point. It's like Farrah Abraham already had some level of recognition because she was on MTV's Teen Mom, mm-hmm. and she took out a sex tape and nobody cares about. She's a has-been. She's a nobody. Like, she had more clout than Kim did before the sex tape. So this idea that it's just a sex tape, it's not. Kim created a brand. They gave her a show. Her family and is hilarious.
It doesn't guarantee you success.
But then it goes back to the fact where there's no redemption.
Yeah,
forget Kim can go to law school, become an attorney, help people get out of jail. She can create a $1 million brand, create a brand for her family, change everybody's life, change fashion in general, change the outcome of the beauty industry.
Why we do contour and we do the reason why we do contour is because of Kim Kardashian. Because the first time that you ever saw mm-hmm. contouring and then you ever saw
thank you, Mario.
The under the eye
outside of drag shows
was Mario. Mm-hmm. Mario introduced contouring and what is it called? Highlighting to the mainstream through Kim Kardashian.
The sex tape, it goes back to, oh, the sex tape blew her up.
No, it's not just about her. There was another screenshot that we didn't include, or maybe we did, of a girl. She's nobody. She's just a content creator on TikTok. Really cute girl. And she's basically cooking in her kitchen. And she says, 5 years ago, I was a feminist. I believed in abortion. I believed in this and da-da-da. And she was an OnlyFans and, you know, whatever. And now I'm like, you know, I don't believe in any of that. Like, I'm not against abortion and I'm not a feminist and I'm not this. And you know what the response was from people on Twitter? Oh, the funnel from OnlyFans whores to trad wives is, and you know, they start with the whole thing. So I'm like, so do you guys want girls to stay doing sex work, or do you want girls to stop that behavior and correct themselves? Like, how do we redeem
if you've slept with over women. Four men, delete yourself, and then that's the only way that men are that's the only chance that you have in life is what these men want.
Lana Rhodes, do you guys know who that is? She was a famous porn star, Lana, right? So basically, her and Mia Khalifa, you guys do know who Mia Khalifa is, right? Porn star. Both of them have been going to different podcasts and on TikTok and everywhere and saying, don't do sex work. It's bad. I did porn. It was really bad. I'm traumatized, X, Y, and Z. The same thing with Lana Rose. Lana Rose has a child from a basketball player. He doesn't want to take responsibility for the child because he's embarrassed that he got a porn star pregnant, mm-hmm. right? So she's not, I think she signed an NDA. But now I just heard her the other day on TikTok and she was like, yes, I am ashamed of what I did. I have a child now. I want young girls to know that this is not the way, that you should not do porn because I'm embarrassed. Now my child gets to see that. You know what the response from people are, men and women? How dare they bring Lana Rhodes and Mia Khalifa to talk and they're not even speaking trad, they're just saying, be careful and don't do pornography. Don't do sex work. It's going to haunt you later in life. But apparently, they're not redeemable, Maverick, and they're not good enough to be able to spread this message.
Maverick, that's made a problem. A very good point of something that's actually seen. I agree with you. So Maverick says, in order for the woman to redeem herself, she must prove she's no longer a practitioner of that former lifestyle. However, that's not what the Red Pill community agrees on, which is very different than what you as a Christian would believe in. In fact, the Manosphere does believe that women who seek out Christ and go to church are only doing so to manipulate men into believing, into deleting their history as their dating history, or that they were whores, or whatever right. it is that they want to call them. They don't even believe in the authenticity of coming to Christ. They don't believe in that testimony of finding Christ and saying, I am ashamed. I feel shame. Like all sinners, when we find Christ, what we right. should feel is shame. No sin is above the rest. Right. They don't believe in that process of being born again through Christ. They think that it's all a manipulation of women.
Making mistakes. We are now creating, we now have a society where you're not allowed to make mistakes and redeem yourself. And forget Kim Kardashian. I'm talking about you and I and regular people. We don't need to worry about a woman who can travel in her $100 million plane when the rest of us have to fucking sit through TSA for 5 hours. You can redeem people. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, you can't redeem yourself, or you can't even admit you made a mistake. It just happened to me here on YouTube. Last week, I shared a personal testimony. It's actually why I'm so afraid to talk about my personal life, period, right? I shared a testimony when I was 21 years old, probably even younger than that. I don't know. It could have been when I was 21. And I was dating my boyfriend back then. And we were going to a pool party. And I put on a bikini that I thought was fine. I have a very large bottom. It's just the way that I was made. So I bought what I thought was a large bottom as well. My boyfriend at the time said, "You should change. I think it's too small. It's going between your cheeks." And I said, "Okay, fine." And I changed immediately. It wasn't a problem. I share that to say that because I respected my man, I wouldn't have an issue changing from what he thought was too small. Do you know what the response was from men, from one guy? "Oh, but you were, right? Because you wanted attention. Why did you wear it in the first place? Because you wanted attention." You're not allowed to make mistakes, period. That's the point. You're not allowed to make mistakes and say, "Hey, this is a story of where I respected this guy and I actually changed." No, you're not allowed to do that because apparently you want attention. I didn't say anything
else.
Which
again goes back into like the man leading you and telling you, "Hey, I don't like that." And the woman following through. But there's no women. There's no winning. And maybe that's a topic for the next show. But I genuinely, I do worry that very similar to how feminists tend to start turning into lesbians, that the manosphere is going to start turning men gay. Yeah. Because there's already conversations being had by God, you know, Myron Almighty himself, where he's, you know, making commentary about how gay men are more successful, tend to be more statistically successful than straight men because they don't have to deal with women. Myron has also advocated for married men to live with their buddies so that they can lift more often than living with their wives. So one has to wonder at how far is this women bashing going to go as a way of deflecting from the own work that men have to do on themselves and on the society that does depend on them to lead? At what point is this going to switch out to like, let's just hang out with one another and forget women altogether and we can have test tube babies because birthing isn't even that important?
I saw it in Pearlie's channel. I saw somebody make the argument that women actually were not needed because very recently there was a baby created from two mice, a mouse baby created from mice and from two male mice and synthetic whatever. And I was like, okay, so pretty much we're just going to be like dumped or something into another planet. Like, I'm just going to go with Elon Musk to Mars. I'm sorry.
I'm sure, listen, all I'm saying is that when I start hearing these conversations coming from men, I gotta wonder, because, you know, you don't want to be the person that takes a low blow and be like, "Oh, you probably hate women because you're probably gay, dude." Yeah. And they're like, "Oh, you're just being a feminist. Don't say that." But it's like, bro, like, you guys really hate women and resent them for being women. And that's the part we've talked about. They resent the role that the double standard gives women. They resent that role. They want to compete with women. Like, "Oh, I want to be in a yacht without having to work with it. I want to get attention without having to work. I want to have women sim for me without." And it's like, maybe a conversation for another day. But guys, please, if you haven't liked this video,
we didn't give a shout out to David Berg, one of our great, great followers. I can't go up. I don't know why I can't go up anymore. But
We've got so many. Whoa. Okay, David. Thank you. David says, "I was a fan of Jamie 6 years ago when she started." Six years ago when she started. "It's how I eventually found Linda's profile. Why isn't it showing up? It's how I officially found Linda's profile. She lost me months ago, but last night she was wildly unhinged. By far the most disrespectful, irrelevant, and tedious guest Tim has ever
so
had
bad.
On the show.
So bad.
Hold in.
So
I
bad.
Love when he drops the oskies on us. Yes, yeah. So bad. Very embarrassing. So bad. Jamie's an embarrassment. Conversation for another day as well. Kenneth writes, it's 2023. Everybody ugly. Reyna, they're trying to push chest feeding. It is disgusting. I just watched Amanda Emsing's story today on Instagram. Our friend Fairy Prince is coming through with a super sticker. And Maverick saying, if more women just prove to the man that they like, that they are just for him, 90% of their relationships would of relationship issues would be non-existent. I agree with you for the most part. I think that men have to be able to show the same level of commitment. I'm not even saying faithfulness. I think that men have to show women a certain level of commitment to keeping them safe. I'm using very specific words. Mm-hmm. The same way that a woman should show a man that she's only there mm-hmm. for him, the man should show the woman his commitment to keep her safe. And Stacey says, ladies, after listening to tonight's show, I am reminded everyone needs Jesus. Yep. Yes,
everybody
in fact.
Needs Jesus.
Guys.
Everybody needs Jesus. I just want to tell you guys that there was this one time I was actually, short story, but you guys will enjoy it. I was actually hanging out with somebody from the Manosphere. Not the Manosphere, like not one of the bros that like none of them, but you know, somebody that likes that type of content. I'm sorry. And
a connoisseur.
Correct. And somebody and another guy and this other guy was saying how he was into like, how he actually married a virgin. He had married a virgin and he ended up divorcing her because he realized, it had nothing to do with her being a virgin, but the point is that he realized that he's just not meant for monogamy, that he wants to just have a polygamous relationship, and he had children, and he's not going to have children anymore, so now he just wants to have girlfriends. Cool, no problem. They start asking me questions about my sex life, right? Into which I say that for women, you have a lot more self-control, and that me personally, especially at my age, I don't see sleeping around or having different partners as something that I will do, whether I can lie about it or not lie about it. It's not about that. I could sit here and lie and say whatever it is. No one's ever going to find out. But it's about sharing your spiritual energy with another person. And they were looking at me like I was like speaking in another language, right? Because I guess they don't think that way, and that's okay. But I said, it's kind of like fasting. You understand? It's discipline. It's self-discipline.
Yeah.
Right? So if you can contain, and this is more for women than men, if you can contain your sexual urges and be able to say no, as a woman especially, you're going to be sharing and allowing men to penetrate you, because that's what it is.
You're
I don't want to be explicit here, but you're literally allowing another person's energy and soul and everything inside of you. And I hate to say it, it's not just about the body count, but it's about the spiritual stuff. You're losing your spiritual value as well.
Y'all should stop talking about the red pill while you can still breathe. How about no? How about we're only going to talk about the Manosphere? How about we're creating a space right now? Because women and normal, sane men need to be getting realistic advice from other places. Yeah. And we may not be the world's number one males podcast, but we're not here giving out incels the little taglines that they want.
Also, politics is so toxic. Like, yeah, we don't want to just have a political show. Like, we want to forget about the fucking Joe Biden trying to start World War III. Like, I don't want to like, seriously, it just happened today. They're going to send troops to Europe, and we don't know. I think they're going for Ukraine too, because Ukraine is losing the war. And they've been lying about that for a very long time, but I don't want to have to talk about politics all the time. It's so draining. It's so exhausting. So if you don't like our content, you simply don't have to watch us. It's that simple.
But it is to the point that Linda was making.
Mail panel. I'm sorry. Somebody saw mail
it's
panel.
It's coming soon. It's coming soon. We're working on it. We've got, if you guys have anybody that maybe wants to join us, that's cool too. But we do have a panel of regular men that live in Miami, where apparently the dating standards are different than the rest of the world, that were born and raised here, that are going to give real life accounts of how their average asses, all of our friends are fucking fantastic and great, but they're going to share stories. They're not billionaires like Andrew Tate. They're average guys dating in Miami, and they're going to share their experience. Super important to Linda's message. We don't advocate for promiscuity in any capacity.
On the contrary,
we agree with the manosphere. We think that a woman's value is based off her purity and her scarcity, that not everyone can have her. We do agree with that. And we want to encourage young women to respect themselves and respect their body and not think that they have to own men by engaging in the same kind of like sexual interactions that men have. But we also want to help women during this very valuable time that they have in their life, secure a man that's actually worth their time. Because I'm sorry, but a lot of you that hate women and think that it's okay to cheat and women are just, you're not the guys for those good women. And we want to help those good women set good standards so that they can help identify good men that they can share lives with.
I told a guy on Twitter, last thing I'll say, that he was like, oh, I like, we want to see your boyfriend. I bet you's ugly as fuck. And I was like, so what? Like, why do you care if I have an ugly boyfriend?
Imagine
like,
an ugly short like, king
who
winning.
Who cares? Like, why do you care? Like, but that's what I'm like, what do you care if I have an ugly boyfriend? If I'm okay with my ugly boyfriend, like, would it be better if I have insane standards and I'm trying to date? What's the beautiful gay guy from Superman? Cavill? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. If I was like, oh, I'm only going to date a 6'5" that looks like freaking Ken. No, like it was so fucking ridiculous.
What difference does it make to you
guys? It was so ridiculous.
All right, guys, we're coming to the end of our show, but please check out our sponsors at Century H2O. Always supporting us, always showing us love. I saw somebody mention that they want to get one, but that the your landlord might say that you made a change. I promise you, you should check out the instructions. Yeah. I think they're posted on the site.
On the site, there's a
easiest,
video.
It's the easiest thing that you can see, and you can, easier than painting a wall white. Like, you can take it on, take it off, and move it onto your next location under the sink. So unless he's going in to do some kind of repair, he wouldn't even know that it's there. But check out the Patriots at Century H2O, not just because they're a product that believes in us, but because they're also a great fucking product. Yeah. And if you haven't subscribed to our channel, what the hell are you doing? Like, subscribe, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.